little to encourage us in as we pray. And I'd like to share this little story in the Bible that has been coming to my mind. It's in the gospel. It's about Jesus Christ when he was in the wilderness with his disciples and followers, and what happened was, first of all, I think they really loved Jesus Christ so much that they first of all followed him to the wilderness. Because to follow somebody to the wilderness means that you really, either you love them or they have a tremendous impact upon your life. So they followed Jesus, went all the way to the wilderness. Jesus was talking and talking and telling them things about the kingdom of God, things about their lives. So they're excited about it. And at one point, it's been recorded that Jesus had compassion on them and said, get them something to eat. And I know we know that story. And disciples are like, even if we worked for a whole year, we still wouldn't be able to feed these people. And as you know, the story goes, they brought some fish and bread, loaf of bread, and he blessed it and it multiplied. And that story in itself, I started looking at it critically. I started just thinking about the story. And as people that come here to pray, or people who are in the prayer ministry, or people who come pray for our families, I just want to pull one thing that I saw from this story, and that is Jesus' reliance on God, but not really on God. I want to focus. I want to focus on the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus made a promise to all of us, saying that because I'm going to the Father, you guys will do greater works than I did. Greater works meaning that greater works in your own personal lives, greater works in your family, greater works in your community, greater works with your friends, greater work in your sphere of influence. Jesus promised that promise to everyone who believes in him, is that because I'm going to the Father, greater works will you do. But how did Jesus do it? He clearly depicted to us how he did it. And even he made a promise again. And that promise, we enjoy that. We enjoy part of it today through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We enjoy those gifts. But he made a promise that I'm leaving, but I'll send you a helpmate. I'll send you a helper. Imagine taking an exam. Imagine taking one of those big exams. Remember when I was in high school, taking an SAT exam, and you had a helper there with you. Maybe a little, someone, an invisible thing here that can tell you the answers. How confident will you be going to that exams? If I had that, I would tell my parents, if I get a perfect score on this exam, will you guys buy me something? I think at that age, I think one of the things I would like is maybe like a fast car or something. So I'll tell them, can you get me like a Ferrari or something like that? I'll boast. I'll bluff. I will be so confident. I'll tell my dad, yeah, you wipe all your savings and make sure, because I believe I'm going to get that perfect score. Because why? I have a helper. Nobody knows I have a helper, but I know I have a helper. I know because the helper's here with me. We are going to take the exams together. Now, in this life that we are living in, Jesus has made a promise to all of us that I'm going to give you a helper. And this helper, this person is going to help you. It's just me. It's just going to help you. It's going to give you everything you need. If we, in our family forum, the teachers about, or my counseling class is about marriage, the woman being your helper. That's another illustration of it again. And there's a whole teaching about the woman's role and the man's role. And together, they achieve more together. And so in our spiritual walk, God has given us a helper. And that helper is in the Holy Spirit. So tonight, I just want to focus on three gifts of the Holy Spirit in the place of prayer. Number one is going to be the gift of revelation. And we can open to John 16, 12 to 13. John 16, 12 to 13. It says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth, meaning that he will give you the revelation that you need. The reason why this, and again, the reason why I'm sharing this with us as an exhortation is that it will really increase and make us effective in the place of prayer. It will make us very effective in the place of prayer. And I'll show you why, how. Revelation is very important when it comes to prayer. Because number one is having the accurate revelation of, number one, the promises of God, what God has already said, what God has already done for you. It puts you in a winning place already. It puts you in a peaceful place. I'll give you an example. When Jesus Christ had the news about Lazarus being dead, Jesus Christ was confident in himself. He was confident, not being afraid, not being worried about the news that he heard. I said, oh, no, let's stay a little bit. I'll be going there a little bit later. And when he got there, look at the approach to that problem. Once he got there, he called that problem and said, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? Lazarus came forth. Jesus had a revelation of, and at the end, he revealed it to them. They're saying that, I'm saying this for these people here to see, for these people here to believe. But I know that when I pray, you always hear me. He had an accurate revelation of who his father was and the relationship that he had with his father. And that gave him absolute confidence in every situation that he was in. There are so many different situations with him, with his disciples in the sea, and the sea was just raging. Again, he woke up and said, peace, be still. You see, it's that revelation that it puts you in a place. God says, my peace I give you. He says that, be still and know that I'm God. What is that? Those are revelations. Once you understand that, what happens is that in every situation, you go into that place. It's like you key into that place and you stay there. Because you're now about to operate in a different way. That gift of revelation comes from the Holy Spirit. And when we desire it, when we go for it, because God has already made these things. He has, again, there's another promise that's coming to my mind right now. He says that, I've given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. He says that, I've blessed you with all spiritual blessings. So God, again, has surrounded us with the right things so that we can be successful at every area. Number one, we are trying to tackle this gift of revelation that the Holy Spirit gives us. Jesus said to us that when this Spirit comes, and he's already here already, he said that he will take what belongs to me and make it clear to you. That is an absolute promise. That is an absolute promise that you can demand. Revelation. It's very important. In any situation that you face yourself, in anything that you are trying to decide on, your career. So now let's see how it applies to our life. The things that we look for, our career, our jobs, our family, our friends, situations that happen at the jobs. God is like, I've made a promise to you that I'll give you insight about this issue. So it's your reaction that when something happens, it's your reaction is, God, what is your perspective on this? That changes everything. Something happens to you and your first reaction is, Lord, what is your perspective? Because it's a promise that you give me revelation. So what is your perspective on this? And once you see God's perspective, you key in there. That is the first, not that already you are successful already. Because you held the brakes and said, no, I'm not going to just react based on my emotions. Father, what is your perspective on this? Holy Spirit, open my eyes of understanding. I want to understand why is this happening? What is going on? how are you seeing this? Open my eyes, Father, so I can see what you are seeing. And then right there, you get a perspective about the issue. You get an understanding about the issue. Now, once you have an understanding, our pastor always tells us that, look for a scripture, right? That revelation is a scripture that comes to you. The Holy Spirit infuses your heart with the scripture, infuses your mind with the word of God, something that pops up that relates to that situation. And right away, you have the solid rock. You are standing in an immovable place already now. So that's step one. So now, even in our own personal life, I want you to have that desire. Even after I'm speaking, I want you to have that desire, that thirst to demand these things. Yeah, we have to get it because God has already paid for the price. If we don't get it, then it's a waste of time. God said, desire spiritual gift. Desire this. You should desire. The same way we seek for, you know, material things, let's switch it and seek for these spiritual things. Because once we have these spiritual things, all these other things follow. Because everything that is physical came from the spirit. It first existed in the spirit already. So once you have the spirit done, the flesh, the things in the world is easy because that one, it's easy to come by. So the goal of this is at the end that your heart will be positioned to seek these spiritual things, to see God's perspective, to see God's revelation first. And that becomes a stronghold in your heart. Instead of something else, let that become a stronghold. That any situation happens, your default mode is, Father, what is your perspective on this? What revelation are you giving to me? Again, this is based on promises that has already been made for us. Number two, I want us to, actually I'll read this here. Ephesians 1:18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glorious of his inheritance in the saints. So that's number one. That's the gift of revelation. Now I want to talk about another thing which will help us in the place of prayer. Empowering gift. The Spirit gives. The Spirit also empowers us. And he also does that by giving us empowering gifts that are empowering. Right? In the book of Judges, I think, you know, I like the story of Samson because it depicted him. You said the Spirit of God came upon him mightily, and then he did something. That's like a movie. When I read the Judges, it's like a movie when I see what Samson is doing. That's God's own action movie. It says the Spirit of God comes upon Samson, and then he kills these people. He breaks these things, chases the Philistines away. That's an awesome thing that happens. For us in the New Testament, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:7. We also have our own action movie that we can do. 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says that now to each one the manifestation of the gift is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gift of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of these tongues. All these are the work of one in the same Spirit, and he distributes to each one just as he determines. Now, we are talking about empowering gifts. These are all empowering gifts. Gift of wisdom. It says here, gift of being able to do miracles, healing, prophecy. These are all empowering gifts that the Spirit gives to us. These are ones listed here. There are other ones also listed in the book of Romans. But in knowing this now, how does this apply to the place of prayer? You see, it's very important to rely. As I said, Jesus, I give that example, that story about Jesus Christ in the wilderness, relying totally on the Spirit of God to help him bring, you know, to help him actually manifest that compassion that he had to the people. In the place of prayer, it's very important for us to start to open our mind of understanding as we approach God. You know, we know that prayer is a communication thing. It's we are communing with God. It's a privilege. Let's look at that gift of wisdom. That's an empowering gift. Imagine that you have an issue that you are praying for. And knowing this knowledge, having this knowledge, you are aware, you know that you are waiting for God to communicate with you. What happens is that God can give you a word of wisdom for someone, and that's an answer. That's an answer to that problem. But most of the time, because even your mind is not to that level, you don't even see it as an answer. That word of wisdom can even be for you yourself. So that gift of empowering, now if you start to imagine, if in the place of prayer, as you pray just for your family and for your friends, it could be a word of wisdom that God gives. Like when you go back home, call your son and actually let's pray about this topic or ask him this question. And that solves the issue. That totally solves the issue. I'll give you an example. I use Sandra as an example. You know, she told me an issue that she had before. And instead of me quickly just trying to, you know, be compassionate and trying to understand, as she was talking, I was like, God, help me understand what the solution is, because I don't know what the solution is. I don't know how to solve this thing. So I was listening, and after that, I said, I understand. I see where you're coming from. That is, you know, that I agree with you. I agree with you totally. But I didn't say anything. And after a while, a thought came to my mind that, you know, how to call her together. Let's pray with her about this issue. So I called her one day, and I said, let's pray about this issue, because I really don't know how to address this issue. So let's pray about it. And we prayed about it. And the prayer really was simple. I was like, you know, Holy Spirit, Father, I know that anything that's committed into your hands, you are able to keep. So I commit the situation into your hands. And I ask that you start to give Sandra the understanding of it. You start to empower her in the place of her being able to understand and see from your perspective. A couple of days later, she called me and said, Mike, man, the Holy Spirit just gave me a new way of looking at this problem. And I was excited about it. I was excited because I was like, wow, this is easy. I didn't have to use my brains for anything. But the word that came to me was, just pray with, don't crack your brains on this. Just pray with her and commit her to God. Voice that out. Say it to her so she can hear it. And when I said that, what happened? God himself took it from there and things started happening. Another example I would like to share with you is, you know, my friends took me out. I traveled for my bachelor party. I traveled. And when I was there, I was like, you know, I'm here. Let me try and mingle with people. Let me try and get to see people. Let me see what they are thinking. And so I was sitting there on one wall, and I was like, man, Father, what are you doing? What are you doing with these people? I see people walking around. So I would like to engage with someone. I like to talk, have a conversation with someone. And all of a sudden, I saw some people pass by. And I say, hey, how you guys doing? See, and then they came to stand right next to me, also looking at something. And I asked one question. One question was about what is going on in the media, Black Lives Matter stuff. I said, hey, what do you guys think about this issue, man? What's going on? And they opened up. They started talking. And for me, my goal is I just wanted to, you know, share things with people, minister to people, just love on people that I see. So as they were talking, that conversation led to, from Black Lives Matter to talking about their own faith, their own family, things that are going on in their family, because we became so casual now. We became so comfortable in the conversation. that they started saying things about their families and friends and things that are going on in their own lives. And I had an easy opportunity to minister to them without, because we all having a conversation. So me too, I'll say my own. And it was great. I was like, wow, I loved it. Because, again, it's the Holy Spirit that empowers you to be able to do this. When you key into it, when you know that he's here to empower you, what happens is that you are always on the outlook saying that, I want to be empowered to do this. I want to be empowered to touch someone to this morning or this evening. And what happens? He creates that way. And when he creates the way, it naturally flows out of you. He gives you the words that you need. He gives you the ministration that you need. And what happened? I had a wonderful time with those people. We shared the gospel. We went back talking about the cross, talking about the things that happened. And at least, you know, they had a different perspective about the gospel. They had a different understanding of what the gospel really meant. So again, in prayer, I want us to understand that revelation, being empowered, these are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us. And when you have that mentality, when you come to God, you are not, again, at a place of mercy. You are really at the place as a son. You are standing as a son. You are standing as a true son of God, waiting to receive from him whatever he has for you and say that, okay, let's do it. This is the answer. Let's go for it. As compared to, I'm hoping that God will do something. I'm hoping that God will touch me. I'm hoping that some scripture will come to me. I hope I'm communicating with you guys. The last one I want to touch on is a vocal gift. I don't have this scripture here, but I'll read it. It says that in the same way the Spirit comes to us, helps us in our weakness, we do not know what to pray. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should. But the Spirit himself knows our needs and at the right time intercede on our behalf with sigh and groanings too deep for words. Amen. You see, this piece of it is very important. The vocal gift that the Holy Spirit gives. Most of us have it, you know, speaking in tongues. That's one aspect of it. Being able to speak in tongues, being able to communicate with God with groanings, deeper groanings that you know you can have words for. But this gift is a tremendous gift. It moves mountains. It's a tremendous gift. One place that is used is in the place of grief. In a place of tremendous grief, the Holy Spirit helps you in that area of this vocal gift. I mean, I'm talking about tremendous distress. Knowing this, the Holy Spirit has a way of expressing exactly how you are feeling to God. Being overwhelmed. Have you ever been overwhelmed, perplexed, confused? You don't know where to start from. You are just, you don't have the answer. You don't have the energy. You don't have anything. Be confident to rely on the Holy Spirit. It's when you get to a place where you have something in your heart, but you can't express it. You are not coming to God with premeditated words to say. You come and say, I don't know. And the Holy Spirit just starts oozing out of you. The groanings. And you can feel God. You can feel that you are communicating with God. You are just pouring your heart out. And you finish. And you're like, wow. And what happens? Philippians happens to you. The peace of God starts to surround your heart. Around that issue. It starts to surround you. It starts to saturate your heart. It's very important because this vocal gift is it happens in the place of, you know, after going through so much turmoil in this world, after going through so much issues, one way to release that is the Holy Spirit does that to us through these groanings that he talks about. Another way that the vocal gift is very important is, you know, we know in short, we already know what we can see or what we can understand. But when we allow the Holy Spirit, what happens is that He takes us to a different place. I remember Pastor Dorothy gives us so many testimonies about this, about when they were in Nigeria, when they had this issue and she was praying the Spirit, and the maid servant, at this time she was doing something that he didn't know before, but she just had this urge and they're just oozing out, just praying the Spirit, just flowing in that language. And because that's prayer. So as she was doing that, God was using that to do the things that he needs to do in their life. And the lady came to testify or something like that. And that's how she knew. And they said, oh yeah, that's what I was. So they are tremendous. They are examples of these things. Pastor Mano gives an example that when he prays in the Spirit a lot, he gets revelation. Just revelations will be coming to you. He'll be writing it down. Remember, it goes back to the number one, what I talked about, the revelation. So what is the purpose of this? I've talked about three things. The purpose of it is to move us away from ourselves. To move, because once you move away from yourself, you are in the best place to receive all that God has for you. Because you have nothing else. You don't have your own language. You don't have your own premeditated way of solving the problem, because we solve the problem and then we give the solution to God. That's what we do most time in prayer. We solve the problem and say, God, this is the answer. Do the answer. But when you come to God and say, God, I don't know the answer, and I know you know the answer, because these are the promises that shows that you know the answer. So here I am. And the Holy Spirit initiates this thing. So I just want us to be in a place of being effective in prayer. And what Jesus Christ says should be our answer in our families. We should be able to stand and say, he always hears me when I pray. I'm telling you. I'm just not faking. It's not fake. That is the life that God has given to us. It's not boasting. Actually, yes, it is boasting. It is boasting in the Lord. So that others can see that, yes, you can also boast in the Lord if you want to. Why should I be timid? Why should I be mediocre? Why should I, hold back? When God has already paid for this with his own blood, with his eternal blood. So I want to encourage us as we pray and as we do these things, let's do it with God. Let's let God lead us. Even in prayer, let him lead you. As we've said already, let him lead you. If you don't have any revelation, if you don't have any perspective, fall back to the gift of vocals. Say, Father, Lord, here I am. I surrender myself. You see that the Spirit of God, he will start giving you hymns. You start, and that is how you rise up. That's how it happens. And you get to a place where you can now effectively communicate, effectively do the right things in prayer. And you see answers. And what happens? Your joy is full. And the next thing that happens is you start receiving your answers and you start sharing this thing with others. Because once you are successful, the next thing is you'll see a little child and say, I will teach you. Come. You start teaching your household, teaching your families, your friends. Because you are oozing out of it. It's not faking. You are oozing out of it. But if you're not oozing out of it, God will do it. Oh, let's pray. God will do it. Yay. God is going to work. But if you are oozing out of it, you say, come. You show them. That's easy evangelism. That's easy, easy, easy. So I leave us with this, that God really wants us to live this life that he's given to us. He paid for it. We shouldn't address issues from a place of timidity, from a place of fear, from a place of I'm hoping. We should be excited to embrace every challenge in our lives and say, nah, all this is going to go off. All these challenges, I'm addressing all of them because God has empowered me. And that's how we rise. That's how we rise. That's how we keep rising. Because challenges are going to come. But the thing is, the joy of it is, as they come, me too, I'm coming. So as they come, me too, I'm coming. So they come, we also come. Because God has empowered us. Because if he didn't empower us to do these things, he wouldn't tell us that he has empowered us. So he's telling us because he has empowered us. So let our prayer life change. Let us be bold in the place of prayer. Let us be confident in the place of prayer. But first of all, let's start with him. And if we do that, will always be successful. Amen.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.